welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues. But the twist is that we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce our crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have a major, or you can call him doctor, because he is a doctor, believe it or not, Dr. Travis Yates at travisyates.org. Thanks for being on the show, Dr. Yates. Appreciate it. Also, Corporal David DeAgresta, retired from a PD and an SO, brings a unique set of skills to the show. Thanks, David. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. Now, guys, we have a new sponsor coming. I cannot announce it yet, but we have a major sponsor, a title sponsor coming up. So stay tuned for that. But our newest sponsor that's getting us on satellites, Aero Precision at aeroprecisionusa.com. And Gauls, we have AUFire, gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, and mymedicare.live. Also, a shout out to the Free Press and Brian Burns with the Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content. And Ray Dietrich, redvoicemedia.com. We're streaming the 8 locations right now, soon to be more. And four of those are actually belong to Red Voice Media, and we're on about a million follower base with them alone. So thanks to Ray Dietrich and Red Voice Media for helping make that happen. Guys, we have a great lineup for you. Just kind of whet the appetite a little bit of what we're going to be talking about. We have another Mueller grinder coming up. We have an Oklahoma gives police the authority to arrest illegal immigrants. So yeah, it started in Texas and it's getting contagious. And we have an active shooter that is neutralized. Hopefully you guys know what the word neutralized means, because I get excited when I see that in titles. Active shooter neutralized outside of Wisconsin middle school. We've got a man armed with a knife reported a false stabbing on a 911 call, and that dude ends up being fatally shot by Arlington police. We've also got dash cam showing an ATV crashing into a New Haven police cruiser. It's a short but sweet. It's just amazing. Florida police chief retires, and he's rehired with a double-digit raise the next day. What a great guy Lee Burkaw is. I've worked with him. David, I believe, has worked with him, so we'll talk about that briefly. Body cam shows the moments before a Kalamazoo police canine is stabbed by a man holding a knife. Guys, we've got another one. That's why I'm going to the dentist as soon as the show's over, because I ground out another freaking molar watching this video. Former Colorado Sheriff's deputy convicted of a misdemeanor in a fatal 2022 shooting. Then we have Department of Corrections releases a body cam of a lieutenant that runs over an inmate. And this guy's in a UTV vehicle. It's just kind of crazy. We got more stuff depending on how the time goes. But yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to come. So look, let's get started off with the first main story. Lawofficer.com, great source for information, guys, if you're looking for some credible stuff, because look, it's not all credible out there. But Oklahoma gives police the authority to arrest illegal immigrants. So we're in Oklahoma City. It's become the latest state to give police the authority to arrest illegal immigrants. And wow, they're going out on a limb calling these guys illegals, don't you think? I mean, they're not just like, being passive about it, guys that are just crossing the border, potential, U.S. citizens, right? Illegal immigrants, which is what they are. It's refreshing. So on Tuesday, it makes illegal immigration a state crime punishable by fine and imprisonment. The legislation is called HB, House Bill 4516. So that's 4516. It's set to go in effect on July the 1st, and it was passed 39-8 in the Senate and 77-20 in the House. It authorizes Oklahoma law enforcement officers to arrest individuals for illegally entering the country, and is reported by the Daily Wire. If convicted under the new law, the illegal immigrant would be guilty of an impermissible occupation, is what they're calling it. I like that name. It could be punished by up to a year in jail, $500 fine, but we're talking misdemeanor, right? Person would also be required to leave the state within 72 hours following his or her conviction or release from custody, whichever comes later. If the defendant is taken in the custody a second time, so we get a second offense, it's upgraded to a felony, and they could be incarcerated for 2 years, fined $1,000. And under this classification, it's also required to leave the state within 72 hours, yada, yada, yada. Now, President, here's a quote saying that, "I'm disappointed this bill is necessary since President Biden took office in 2021. More than 10 million people have poured over the southern border, illegals." And this is according to Governor Stitt. "Countless individuals from across the globe, including thousands of Chinese nationals, as well as people affiliated with terror organizations, have illegally crossed the U.S.-Mexico border." Wow. What do you guys think about this? Hey, it's getting contagious, man. Texas now here. Travis Yates.
Well, I know we're going to be waiting on a Supreme Court ruling. That's probably why Oklahoma began with a misdemeanor and then moves up to a felony. It will hold up to those standards. But, this is, unfortunately, states having to do the job of the federal government. And before anybody gets triggered by this, it is against the law as we speak to cross this country border illegally. It's against the law. We have processes to get in the country legally. To try to say any otherwise is just a misrepresentation of those facts. I mean, our country is built on immigrants. No one's going to argue that, but it's built on legal immigrants. And when you open up the borders widely, it's already placing an economic burden and a burden on crime and safety like we've never seen. And by the way, we're only getting started with this. And unfortunately, that's why states are going to have to go in and deal with this, because in the state of Oklahoma alone, I mean, if you increase the population 5-10%, you increase crime maybe exponentially more, it creates a burden. The system is already stretched thin. And the problem that we're having to face right now, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen in 5, 10, 15, 20 years if this continues or if this stays the same and we don't reverse it. We've talked earlier on the show, Chip, that the only way to reverse this is going to be mass deportations. I don't know how that's possible. I know former President Trump's talking about that. You talk about a burden on law enforcement, and I don't think that's going to be possible. So if it just stopped today, millions and millions of people are in this country. We don't even know who most of them are. I mean, I just read a story last week where we've stopped 50 people on the terrorist watch list. And of course, that's the people we stopped. How many people have we not stopped? No one's talking about the getaways. They're talking about the millions of people that we've processed at the border. But I have to imagine that for every person we're processing, there's multiple people getting through without being processed. So we don't even know who's in this country. And for any country to sustain that, that country doesn't stay a country very long. So it's beyond me how our own politicians are permitting this to happen. I'm glad we have governors like Governor Stitt that are having to do a job they shouldn't have to do. But other states better wake up, because this is going to create burdens on these states like we've never seen.
Thanks,
David. Yeah. You want to talk about, and I wouldn't even give it as long as Travis was talking about, 10, 15, 20 years. I believe that and let's go with the best case scenario, Trump gets back in office, and after the election this year, November, and starts taking whatever actions he can take to deport as many people as he can that came out of that 10 million back to where they came from. Or make them go out of the country and start the process legally over again. Even if something like that was to happen, and it was relatively successful, the damage that is already in place to occur, the what we've talked about before, the undoubted sleeper cells and the terrorists that have come across the border quietly that were never seen, never known about, that are in place now in different locations. The burden that's going to descend upon law enforcement is just absolutely unconscionable. I feel sorry for Oklahoma cops that are now going to be tasked with dealing with illegal aliens. Now, hopefully, as these states that are doing this, as the word gets out, for their benefit, those illegals will say, well, we're not going to that state. Let's go to some other state. Let's go to California. Let's go to New York. Let's go to those places that allow it, even those places are starting to push back a little bit, and that will ease the burden. But my goodness, all you have to do, and any idiot out there that says, oh, it's a country we were born on, and the Statue of Liberty and all this other type of crap that you hear all the time, I invite you to go back, do your history lessons, and look at Ellis Island. Look at the places that were funnels for aliens coming over, for migrants coming across from Europe or from wherever, and look at what they had to go through. Look at how many were sent back from Ellis Island for any number of different reasons. For mental illness, they would send them back. So don't tell me that, oh, that was the golden years of immigration. Yeah, no, it was horrors. Children being separated from their families and put into quarantines and all that sort of crap. So no, don't feed me that crap, because it's all BS.
Isn't it interesting, David, that we can go on the internet right now and see who we let into Ellis Island? The names and families are there. All right. Yeah. Try that today. Try finding out who's coming in our country today. So people that say that are completely out of their mind, and they wish destruction to this country. And listen, Chip, we don't hear a lot about the crime impact, although you can watch the news and see it visually, but the numbers, we don't hear it. Do you want to know why? The major cities in this country just stopped reporting crime to the FBI recently. We don't have crime numbers. When you hear this, oh, crime is even. Yeah, L.A., New York City, Chicago, they're not reporting crime to the FBI with the new NIBR standard. And so they're fudging those numbers during election year to not let people see the truth on it. And I'm telling you right now, it is coming. And when the FBI director who works for President Joe Biden has multiple times said we're at a high level threat for a terrorist attack, now you know the administration doesn't want him to say that. He is saying that because he doesn't want to be a fool when it happens. So it has, for him to say that, it must be worse than what he's saying.
I got you. Excellent content, gentlemen. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Certainly by now you guys have heard about Gauls and the new Gauls I'm talking about at Gauls.com/Leo, the country's leading uniform clothing, equipment, and gear provider for law enforcement. And hopefully Corporal David can help me out with this one. You know, they've got a variety of offerings, everything from multi-tools and flashlights to duty boots and tactical gear. And as our panelist, Captain Brett Bartlett, always says, they pretty much have everything for law enforcement except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't been to the new Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com/Leo and check them out. Now, Corporal David, what in the world's going on at Gauls this week?
Man, the newest is 20% off all uniforms.
All uniforms. Their uniform program's awesome.
I mean, it's just amazing how they move this stuff through on duty or off. Gauls has you covered. All uniforms, 20% off.
I wonder if that'll tempt guys to start buying their own uniforms. I'm thinking maybe not. No. But hey, even our former agency, the Tampa Police Department, has a Gauls uniform office on the second floor lobby. So guys, if you haven't checked them out lately, please do. Their uniform program. All right. So now introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. Yes, we're talking about long guns. Born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know they know what they're talking about. Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they have something for everybody. Since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt action. So stay tuned because the M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards are getting ready to hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com later this year. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which is you guys, and now you can get your hands on that primo stuff. In addition, their M5 AR-308 platform, a great sniper platform, it is nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, and talking about the last story, you know, David was talking, but I got distracted because Major Travis was chugging this drink. It was almost like it was a banned substance and he didn't want to get caught with it. And I swear you took like about 12 to 20 swallows. And I don't know if that is that thing empty now, Travis, because you were just going to town on it, man. It was just like, it was quite impressive. Quite the feat. Oh, the Liquid Death. You got it.
Yeah, they're not a sponsor, so I hesitate to show them. But yeah, it's water in a can for $4. I wish I would have thought of that. It's awesome. Yeah.
who would have thunk? You know, who would have thunk? So gotta love that. All right. So the illegal border crisis and cops, you know, being able to enact this thing. You know, what next? I don't know. But if you guys are ready to move on, let's go to our next story. We have an active shooter that's been neutralized. Love that word. LawOfficer.com. Active shooter neutralized outside of Wisconsin Middle School. That's kind of scary stuff. And I love it when our law enforcement, they get it right and they do it in spectacular fashion. So Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, I believe is the location here. Active shooter neutralized outside of Wisconsin Middle School on Wednesday, according to local officials. The threat was spotted outside the school building. Police were called, and the individual was neutralized, according to the Mount Horeb Area School District. And they said that police responded to scope out an active shooter at this. It's called the Mount Horeb Middle School. And the individual did not breach the entryway, which is kind of refreshing to hear. So the local news outlet, Channel 3 Now is what they're called, provided an update that read, a teenager armed with a rifle was outside the Mount Horeb Middle School building. Law enforcement shot the suspect before they could enter the middle school. Emergency medical evacuation was requested for the suspect. There are no reports of any other victims and no injuries were reported among the individuals inside the school, but they were still evacuated and stuff. The school people were too. Now they recovered a backpack and believed to belong to the shooter. It was recovered along with 11 or more expended shell casings. So He was an active shooter. He was firing. The town of Mount Horeb has a population of just under 8,000 residents. It's located about 20 miles southwest of Madison in Dane County. Wow. Disaster averted, guys. Travis?
Yeah, I think it's really important to note that very seldom do we get these to where there weren't clues before. And if you saw a photograph of this kid, I don't want to say I'm profiling what someone looks, but I mean, he looks like the pro. If you look up active shooter, school shooter in the dictionary, it's this kid's picture. All right. And so on top of that, he apparently was obsessed with Columbine, according to reports. And so I have to imagine that people around him, people in the schools around him, kids around him knew this about him. Right now, that makes the kid at best very weird. At very worst, it makes him a school shooter. And so I think we live in this society today where hopefully we're not worried about upsetting someone. So I would say if you have an inclination that something doesn't look right, feel right, appear right, we should probably say something, right? If you see something, say something. We say that all the time. And we know we could be wrong. We know that it just could be a weird kid that likes to play Gran Turismo all the time, right? Or whatever. But I think it's really important that we do the best we can to get intercede before it comes to this, because at the end of the day, it's still tragic, right? And I'm glad it wasn't even more tragic than it was, but this is not going away. I don't know what's going on or what they're putting in the water in schools today or what they're putting in the medicine that kids are taking, but I wish we'd look into this because this does not seem to be going away. By the way, it's not a gun problem. This is some other problem, probably some sort of mental issue, things in pharmaceuticals. I've read some studies on that. I mean, it's funny when I see the pharmaceutical commercials and at the end it goes, oh, if you may take this medicine that's for depression, you may kill yourself or you may be more depressed. I'm like, what kind of medicine is that? Right. So we got a lot of kids on that. I'm not saying that this applicable here other than the way this kid looks, but there has to be some trends here, Chip. There has to be some trends that we can cobble together. And we're so concerned politically about guns. I don't see enough of us looking into the other issues, because before it gets to the guns, I want to find out what's going on.
Wow. Well, thanks. And you're spot on. So thank you. And I love it. The fact that, yeah, disaster averted, cops took care of it. This guy didn't even make it in the school grounds and he fired rounds that did not make contact with anybody. So yeah, great. It could have been so much worse. Hey, to our users, thank you guys for bearing with us. You know, last week I had to go to that Plessit conference. And I should say had the opportunity to go. And I think, as most of you guys know, I talked about it last week. They actually called me. They were trying to get Travis Yates to be a guest speaker at the conference. And I have to admit that, yeah, I was selfish. It was a moment of weakness. And I told them that Travis was unavailable, but that I lied. I said I was as good as Travis.
Yeah, so. You are not my agent anymore, Chip. You're a terrible agent.
So I went and they covered my, I had my airfare covered, my, put me up for 3 nights. Thank you, Travis. And it was a great experience. And it was really good, a good conference, and met a lot of good people and snagged a title sponsor in the process. So everything worked out really, really well. Very happy I went. So Travis, I need to thank you for the opportunity.
So the deal, brother. Sponsor the show now, is that what you're saying?
Well, the DOJ, I didn't have any nasty run-ins with the DOJ, and I did break bread with a
LEO roundtable sponsored by U.S. consent decrees. I love that. I love the ring of that.
Yeah, there's more on that. Yeah, they were trying to come up with a better picture view than what they had, you know, just to distribute, and I kind of helped them out a little bit. I had to freeze frame a lot of the videos of you being on the show, but it all worked out. So yeah, you may see some of that stuff again. Look, we got about a minute and a half. So look, let me just whet the appetite for the next story. This is the molar grinder. I'm going to go with video three, guys, just so you guys know. I know David's shaking his head. At rumble.com, which is our favorite law enforcement video channel, it's called This Is Butter. And This Is Butter is actually on the stream conversing with us now. I got about a minute and 9 seconds before we go to our second commercial break. But we have a body cam that shows the moments before Kalamazoo police canine is stabbed by a man holding a knife.
Can you guys get inside? Yeah. I know, Fred. You got a taser?
No.
Hey, Fred, get back. Put the knife down. Hey, put the knife down. Tase him. If you got a taser, we need a taser. If you have a taser, we need to tase him.
Why are you running?
Hey, let me see your hands.
You got the word of God.
Hey, if you have a non-lethal, use it. If you have a non-lethal, we need... Hey, stop. I'm going to shoot you, okay? Just put your hands up.
I'm going to tell you for 10 years. I'm slashing all you.
Fred, we don't want to shoot you, but we need you to drop the knife, okay? Stay room for the dog. Hey, Shrock, put a little distance on you, all right?
Drop the knife.
Just wait.
Drop the knife.
So yet we have another canine being released on a bad guy who they know has got a knife on him. And when you hear how this go down and you hear the threats he's making and what he's going to do to the dog if they release him, you guys are going to go crazy. It starts off, put the knife down. A Kalamazoo Department of Public Safety officer is yelling to the bad guy. News Channel 3 obtained a body camera video that shows moments before a man stabs canine sledge and he threatens to kill the police. The incident happened on Tuesday, February the 6th. So I'm going to kind of leave it there because I kind of want to get into this thing and cover the whole thing without you guys missing anything. So this story is going to be, guys, it's going to drive you all crazy. And I have to apologize in advance for what David might say. So look, we'll be commercial break. Stick with us, please. You'll love this. We'll be right back. All right, guys, if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, next week, it's plain view and plain feel. Think about that for a second. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. That is bluethegold.com. So now we're going to be talking about AU Fire. It stands for Accuracy Under Fire. It's at AUFire.com, and it's the gold standard in tactical simulation. And for the first time ever, agencies and LEOs can safely simulate being hit by gunfire, knives, and other objects in AU Fire's dynamic force-on-force scenarios. If you've ever wondered how to train your officers or wish you could see how they react in real-world situations, now you can, all while improving their decision-making, return fire accuracy, and life preservation skills, thanks to AUFire.com. All right, guys. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, I left off talking about, let me just read the title again, because we just came back from commercial break. I don't want anyone to forget what we're talking about this molar grinder. On rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, This Is Butter, body camera shows the moments before Kalamazoo police canine is stabbed by a man holding a knife. Now, I just kind of covered, you know, the information, the basics. It happened on Tuesday, February the 6th, but let's go into the nuts and bolts of this. The bad guy comes out of a home. He's shirtless. And after a woman claims he followed her into the home and grabbed her by the throat, and then he threatened to rape and kill her. Okay. So he comes out, no shirt. He's got a knife in his hand. So Kalamazoo public safety officers arrive to the house soon afterwards. So Walker then came at police with a knife in his hand, and he's cussing. He's shouting at officers. And he's saying, "Hey, I'm going to kill you." So they, "Hey, Fred, get back. Put the knife down. Hey, Fred, put that knife down." This is what an officer yells at him. So Walker ignores commands, continues walking towards the officers with a knife in his hand. And then we have an officer that's frantically trying to get less lethal. "Hey, if you have a taser, we need to tase him." And then he says, you know, he's looking for, he called it a non-lethal. But of course, now, you know, we all know it's less lethal because, you know, recently we saw a less lethal take somebody out permanently. And then they asked the guy, you know, the guy asked police while they're running around and stuff. And so several officers had a gun drawn on the 49-year-old, but he didn't stop. And now the officer, the main officer that's got the body cam that's backing away from the bad guy, approaching him with the knife in his hand, he says, "Hey, I'm going to shoot you, okay?" He says it in the form of a question, which is you know, not anything, you know, nothing short of a command. "You need to put your hands up," the officer says. Now Walker refuses to put his hands up while continuously cussing at officers. Now, it talks about a canine handler, Max Houtman, announces that he's going to release the canine sledge. But I thought I heard this officer, the one that asked if it was okay if he shot the bad guy, I could have sworn I heard him say, "Don't release the dog. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I could have sworn he said that. But at least it shows that somebody there knew that it wasn't the right opportunity to release a dog. But anyhow, the canine handler, Max Houtman, announces that he's going to release canine Sledge. So the bad guy responds, I'm going to kill that mother effer dog and bite your master, bite his. And he's talking about a organ on the male canine that every male canine handler would have. So the officer gives Walker one last chance before releasing Sledge. Drop the knife, drop it, the officer says. So Walker still refuses, falls to the ground while stabbing Sledge multiple times in the neck. And when there's a chaotic struggle, they say happens. Officers hold Walker down. They shoot him? No, they're close enough to. And he told them that he thought he was dead. And that's just kind of stupid narrative. He says he's dead. They say, no, you're not dead. So they rush rush him to the hospital, but the canine has rushed to the local animal hospital, did survive. Sledge was stabbed, the canine slashed in the jugular vein and sustained 40% blood loss. How this dog survived is a freaking miracle. Police told News Channel 9 that the canine's a hero. He's back at work. He's been doing well since the incident. Walker, the bad guy's defense attorneys, they're arguing that the guy has mental health issues, including schizophrenia, whatever difference that makes, I don't know. So that's what we have. We have 7.5 minutes. Corporal David.
That's why you intervene in that sort of mental health crisis and put the mongrel down. And I'm not talking about the canine. There are a number of, there's the National Police Dog Foundation. There's the United States Police Canine Association. There is the National Canine Learning Center of Columbus, National Association for Canine Detection, National Search Dog Alliance. And I keep going down the list of various canine organizations around the United States that I am calling upon to step up and demand the resignation of this canine officer. Take him off the canine unit at the very least, if not fire him from the department in its entirety. I'm so disappointed, disgusted, beside myself at the incompetence, the lack of training, I could go down the list. The aggravation is beyond my ability to comprehend it or to deal with it. I have no molars left. I'm paying for my, I'm sure that I'm making the car payment for my dentist at this point. It's just beyond comprehension. And I know the things that we see, the percentage of canine handlers that do this idiocy are small. I'm sure they are. I'm sure that's the way. So I'm not disparaging canine handlers in their entirety like Brett disparages all SROs, but the idiocy that is displayed in these types of scenarios, I challenge any of these organizations, Kalamazoo, and where did you get a name like Kalamazoo? There's no history. It's a stupid name to begin with. I think it just rolls downhill. I challenge any of you. I will challenge you yet again. Show me in your policies, all of the organizations that I just named and Kalamazoo, where in your policy it says you will sacrifice your canine officer unnecessarily. Show me that policy. What the policy does say, what I'm sure it says, is that the canine handler, being allegedly the trained officer on scene having to do with canine deployments, makes that final decision whether or not to deploy or not. And this guy was a total, absolute failure. Complete. The guy it's not a mystery. He's got a knife. He's threatening he's going to kill somebody. I'm going to stab you, stab the dog, stab you, name it. And this idiot still sends his partner in. Now, my stance has always been, if you're a canine handler these days, brother, if you send your dog in, you better be going with him. Because if you're not willing to do that, then you shouldn't be sending that dog. I know how their minds work. I know how dogs' minds work. I train dogs. I work with dogs. I know how they work. They are simply responding to a stimulus that you provide to send them on. They're not sitting there saying, well, gee, dude, that guy's got a knife or a gun going. Am I really? Really? They don't make that kind of thought process. It doesn't happen. So it's your responsibility. It's your fault. That dog's blood is on you. I am so tired and disappointed seeing these types of inappropriate deployments. It's driving me nuts. Someone needs to lose their job. Someone needs to be removed from that position and not allowed any sort of responsibility over another life, period. That's just pathetic and disgusting.
Thanks,
Dave. I agree 110%. And I want to apply that same standard to the police chiefs that are permitting officers to use tasers for very similar situations where we put officers' lives in jeopardy because of the same exact thing. Because we see that time and time again, deadly force situations, you use a dog, we use a taser, we try to talk nice, we ask him the 50th time to drop a knife. Stop. If you cannot make the right decision, you don't deserve to have this position.
Yeah, and again, and I'm... full disclosure, I did not watch the video. I didn't have to. All I had to do was read the blurbs around it and understood exactly what happened. Been there, done that. Didn't even have to watch the video. So I didn't even go into the part about nobody shot this guy. Nobody, the one idiot officer is, oh, somebody got a taser up here. We need a taser. Are you stupid? Have you just lost your minds? Has the name Kalamazoo somehow caused your brain to leak out of your ears? Is that what it is? It's just absolutely unconscionable, the things that we are seeing in these scenarios sometimes, in some of these videos, in some of these stories. Just absolutely unbelievable.
All right, guys. Well, if you're ready for something a little bit more lighthearted, I have something for you.
Clackers? Are we ready for clackers?
No, we don't have any clackers.
There's a story behind that, everybody. Just know that.
We'll wait till my wife to watch this show before we do that one. Look, we're going to go with video number two here at rumble.com. Again, back to our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter. Dash cam shows an ATV crashing into a New Haven police cruiser who was blocking pedestrians from harm. If you didn't have that last part in there about they're blocking pedestrian from harm, it might make it even better. But an ATV driver suffered serious injuries after crashing into this New Haven police cruiser on Sunday. Police said the officers were assigned that afternoon. There was a dirt bike ATV detail. They're trying to address complaints of riders driving recklessly and illegally around the city. So at 3:40 in the afternoon, officers dispatched to this East Rock Park. There's a group of people gathering there. They're using Farnham Drive to access the park, and it's a road that's been open to pedestrian traffic since 2020, right? So officers, they drive to the Farnham Drive. They notice an ATV driving fast, and I will confirm it was driving fast on the same road in the direction of a significant number of pedestrians. So in response, officers slow down the cruiser, angle the cruiser to protect the families who had just passed, which basically means they go into the oncoming lane that the ATV's in. It says they also provide room to the side of them for the oncoming ATV to pass the cruiser, which means it has to go in the oncoming lane to get around the cruiser that's blocking his path. However, the ATV driver loses control. This thing goes sideways. It hits his cruiser and flips up and strikes the front side of the passenger window of the cruiser. The driver is transported to the hospital with serious injuries. And here's the quote. This is an unfortunate stark reminder of the extreme dangers of illegal ATV and dirt bike riding in the city streets for both pedestrians and the operators of vehicles themselves, according to Chief Carl Jacobson. And he said that in a statement on Tuesday. All right, 31 seconds. How can you beat that?
Well, there's a funny and a very serious part is I think we have some questions to answer, or we can't just pull our car into other people coming in the way. What? But I actually, if you put the audio up really loud on that video, Chip, you hear the ATV rider going, Kalamazoo, as it goes across the car. You actually hear that in the audio.
All right, cool to break. Our last one. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, no matter how much you know about guns and ammunition or how much you think that you know, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. GunLearn.com, they've taken the confusion out of learning, and they've actually made it easy. GunLearn.com is the first and the only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your current level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy, and their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar, and you can actually get free training for yourself and the personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at gunlearn.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. That was our last commercial break, so we've got about another 9.5 minutes for you guys with some intense stuff. Now, we just covered that ATV crash. Wow. All right, what do you guys think about that, David?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this scenario is this jurisdiction's issue with the same thing that you see in other places with the intersection takeovers, and they're doing donuts and drag racing and all that sort of stuff in some of these other cities. And in this jurisdiction, apparently, they've had a conversation that said, hey, listen, if you get these idiots coming down this pedestrian pathway on these ATVs, stop them. At any cost, stop them. And we've been talking about some of these other scenarios, these intersection takeovers, and we've seen some pretty bad things happen in them. And this jurisdiction, from what it appears, has decided, yeah, no more. We're not doing this. You come down this pedestrian walkway on an ATV, we're going to stop you. And this officer did. So nicely done.
Yeah, it was pretty. You know what? It's kind of nice when the video quality gets better over the years. And I'm telling you, this was pristine. It was like wild. It was dash cam video, right? So yeah, it was just
listen, priceless. And this is butter on here talking about. I know the Bronson story, the guy, the original founder. This is nuts. I've opened up a can of worms with the
name. Yeah, please, this is butter. I can't get that information out of my head. Stop posting stuff about Kalamazoo.
Let's move on to clackers, not knockers, clackers.
My wife would beg to differ with you, David, but I won't go there. Yeah. All right, look, there's a story, Pasco County story. This is where David, his old stomping grounds, he used to be a Pasco County deputy, retired as a corporal there after he left Tampa Police and retired from Tampa. Rumble.com, our favorite. Wow, this is butter. I got to give this is butter a plug again. This is butter at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Pasco County releases a body cam of deputies who shot and killed a woman who threatened them with a knife.
What's going on? I gotcha. So what's going on today, though? What are the thoughts you're having? You mind just throwing that down? Don't do that. Please don't do that. Put that down.
Put it down.
One go forward. Down. Here, 10-3. She's got a knife.
Down.
Put it down.
Get down.
We got one at gunpoint.
Don't do it.
Just a little female with a knife, guys. What are they shooting her for? The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating after Pasco deputies shoot a woman, threatening them with a knife in Hudson on Thursday afternoon. So they make it look like the cops did something wrong because the FDLE is investigating it, right? So the incident starts at 3:30 in the afternoon at a pet cemetery. There's a lot of places you could go just from that information. But Pasco County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Chris Nocco, good guy, by the way, said during a news conference, you know, he's talking about this. Isabella North, 29 years old, had flagged down a passerby, said she needed help. The passerby called 911, put North on the phone with the dispatcher. Now, the sheriff is giving the account of what happened. So according to the Sheriff Nocco, North told the dispatcher, "I really feel like I'm going to kill somebody today, and I've been diagnosed as clinically insane." She also told the dispatcher she had a knife. So clearly we have somebody who's homicidal and who's armed, according to the sheriff. So two deputies get there. When they start talking to her, she pulls out a 12-inch knife from her waistband, raises it above her head in an attacking position. It was almost like a martial arts stance or something. Body-worn camera footage released by the sheriff's office shows the incident unfold in about 30 seconds. So in the video, deputy greets North by her first name and asks her how she's doing. And her response is inaudible. But then the deputy asks her, "So what's going on today? What are your thoughts here?" And then she drops a knife from her waistband. Kind of changes everything at that point. "You mind just throwing that down?" the deputy asks her. She raises it over her head and holds her other arm out in a defensive stance, which is hard not to chuckle when you see her do this. "Don't do that," the deputy says. He draws his gun. "Don't do that. Please don't do that. Put that down." Both deputies continue to tell her to put the knife down. She continues to approach them. She starts to quicken her pace a little bit as she's going towards them. Each deputy fires one shot. We're trained to double tap, and North falls to the ground. She's taken to the hospital where she is pronounced dead. So I guess the deputies met the target. Commentary on this, Corporal David from Pasco.
This is a pretty simple, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to make you. And they followed that procedure quite nicely. There's no de-escalating anything further than what they did. They de-escalated that scenario is what they did very, very appropriately and very effectively. I couldn't tell. It's if they're reporting that both deputies shot once, it sounded like a real quick double tap. But if both deputies shot once, then fine. I don't have a problem with that. I know Brett likes to get on the trigger, but if the target hit goes down, then you're done. And they did that very well. To Sheriff Nocco's
credit,
he has done a lot of great things with that agency over the years that he's been there, improved a lot of training, a lot of equipment, pay, you name it. He's done it. He's doing a very good job up there with that sort of thing. You know, like anything else, there's bumps in the roads that every agency experiences, but overall, they're doing a great job up there with how they are managing and training and responding. So good for them. They did a great job. Or yeah, unnecessary appropriate job.
Yeah, I'll mirror what David says. And that's why when I see these videos that don't go quite like this and we see all the nonsense, it starts from the top. It's about leadership. When you see a line level body cam video and you see the chaos, you can make an assumption that chaos is going up the chain of command. It's why you're seeing that. And what David just said explains it all. If your leadership's doing what's right, you're given the proper training, you're given the proper support, you'll see these actions that do not place officers in undue harm. And so excellent job by all involved.
You know, while you guys are talking, Gary Gilkey was watching the show instead of working out like he's supposed to. He says, Nocco's nickname is Sheriff Sexy, LOL, laughing out loud, right? Yeah, so the women do, I have to admit, the women do like Sheriff Chris Nocco. My wife's told me how good looking he is and all, yeah. And you know, yeah, I get it, women, you know, yeah. But Nocco, he's actually a pretty cool guy, though. And goes to church, good family man, good guy. So yeah, he's got a good thing going over there in Pasco. David, you didn't really work for Chris Nocco. Didn't he come after you left? Oh, you did work for him?
Yeah, I worked for him for most of the time that I was there. He was the sheriff there.
Were you there with Bob White?
Yeah, Bob White. Yeah, I was there with Bob. Yeah.
Bob White's my buddy now. All right.
I don't care. I don't care.
If your name was Bob White, you'd be upset too. I mean, talk about some boring parents.
All right. So look, we got a little over 2.5 minutes here. So I'm going to go with an update story here, and I got a couple to choose from here. Let me do this. You know, I've been wanting to mention this. We have a Florida police chief is set to retire. He's going to be rehired with a double digit raise the next day. It's nothing but good news, guys. Tampa, Florida, a guy I've worked with for decades. Great guy. Grew up on the police department together. Tampa Police Chief Lee Burkhall will retire this September. The day afterwards, the city's going to rehire him, as they should, in my opinion, with a double-digit raise, according to a 3-year contract unanimously approved by city council. And community members, law enforcement representatives, elected officials have heaped praise on Burkhall, 28-year veteran with the force, as a source of stability for Florida's second-largest police department. And I don't know if I remember that we were the second-largest in Florida or not, you know, for PD, not, of course, sheriff's offices are bigger, but good for Lee. You know, there was a little bit of turmoil going on in that position before Lee took over, and you need stability in the police department. And Lee's a good level-headed guy, clear thinker, and he's been getting it done. So yeah, I love Lee Burkhall, and I'm happy that Tampa is doing that, and they get some good attention out of it, some good publicity. So David,
I just hope that he hasn't jinxed himself, you know, because it's always the way. As soon as you say everything's good and we're doing a good job, something comes loose. I just hope that doesn't happen in any way, shape, or form. But in the end, you, at least I hope that the powers that be that are in the positions to hire, fire, whatever that type of position, the chief of police and the like, learn their lessons from the failures prior. That's that's what should be taken away from this is, did you learn your, is that why we're doing this? Is because we learned, let's not do that. What appeared to be, you know, the dare I say DEI-ish-esque type of appointments from the past, where it's just like, well, I want to appoint a certain type of person or whatnot to this position because we need that. No, you need the best person, the one with the most qualifications, the one that can do the job appropriately is who you need there. Hopefully that's where this is coming from, period. End of story. And if that's the case, then God bless, and move forward. Well, if he wants to stick it out that long.
Well, guys, we are out of time. We're on our last 60 seconds here. Travis, real quick, tell us how people can get more information about you and what you do. And I know you do the guest speaker thing. In fact, you're leaving, I think, tomorrow to go to Vegas. So, or today, maybe.
Yeah, easy way to reach me, Chip, is just go to my website, travisyates.org, and that will branch them off into a bunch of free resources, podcasts, articles, and then, of course, how to do training and keynotes. So I'd love to hear from you.
Right. And you know what? If you put a tracker on Travis over the next 24, 48 hours, you will be able to hook up with both him and Randy Sutton at the same time. So, wow, two birds.
We will be over a dinner table tonight, Lord willing, that the airlines gets me there. Yes.
All right. So, hey, I also want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt. Also, thank you, Aero Precision, Gauls, AUFire.com, GunLearn, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, and the Tampa Free, TampaFP.com, RedVoiceMedia.com. Guys, we'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.